Well, good morning, everyone. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that you are here, and we thank you that you invite us to come boldly to the throne of grace, Lord. And Father, as we look at your word again this morning, and a beautiful example of faithfulness in this portion of Scripture, and so help us to understand and to learn from it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles 14. It's the first of three chapters, really, about King Asa, or Asa, however you like to pronounce it. And this is a great chapter. King Asa cries to the Lord, "Do not let man prevail against you." Not against us, but against you. And so let us begin by singing, "He is able to deliver thee." And we've got the music here, and you and I need to provide the words as we sing along.
Thank you.
So he is able to deliver thee. Let us sing together here. "'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung, 'tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue, 'tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee, he is able to deliver thee, he is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee, is the grandest theme. Let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee, he is able to deliver thee, he is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, him for rest, our God is able to deliver thee." Is your God able to deliver you? Well, we have an interesting situation here in 2 Chronicles to a degree. We have Abijah dies, rests with his father, and they bury him in the city of David. Then Asa, or Asa, his son, reigned in his place, and then prologue statement here. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. So we see that his grandfather, Solomon, did not walk with the Lord the way David did. And then his son Rehoboam, you know the story about him, he was not a good king. And then his son Abijah started off well with a great victory in a way, but then he gets all these wives. It says he grew mightily, married 14 wives, begot 22 sons and 16 daughters, and that's all it says about him. So he really was not thought to be a good king. But now we have a good king. Asa. Asa is one of the better kings. In fact, he starts off so good. And we can learn from that as well. You know, if you're coming from a long line of wickedness, which I guess everybody is to a degree, being born again starts you over, doesn't it?
Amen. Yeah.
So even though Asa grew up in a wicked home, he's a good king. Now, in verse 2, we read, Asa did, so by the way, this is that a good king, bad king. This is a good king after a bad king. Growing up in a bad king's house becomes a good king. You know, it's whatever the Lord, I don't know how it works. But anyway, here we have a good king after some bad kings. Verse 2, chapter 14, 2 Chronicles. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. That's a very important statement there. You know, we have a lot in our society today that we say it's good, right? But it's not. It's bad.
Right.
And when we turn away from the Lord, what we say is good is bad, and what we say is bad is good. But here we have good and right, not in the sight of the culture, not in the sight of the government of Israel or anything else, but in the eyes of the Lord his God. So as you look at your life, evaluate your life through the eyes of God, not through the eyes of man. For he did three things now. These are all action things, which are really good. He removed the altars of the foreign gods in the high places. He broke down the sacred pillars, and he cut down the wooden images. He was not just a passive king in kind of getting back on track. He took active measures here in removing, breaking down, and cutting down the wooden images. Now he goes further. He commands Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandments. So what a beautiful leader here, commanding them to follow the Lord and to observe the word. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. Notice, peace comes after obedience. You want peace in your life? You have to have obedience. And you may see some of the rich and famous people and think, oh man, that'd be nice to have that life. If they're living wickedly, they never have any peace. Never have any peace. You cannot have peace apart from being right with God. And you can't be right with God unless you're right with God. You can't live like the devil and be right with God. But notice what he does now. This is a great example for us. During times of peace, during times of quietness, notice what he does here. He just doesn't sit back and count his money. He is active spiritually and physically, as we just mentioned in the spiritual things he did with removing all the idols. And now he fortifies the cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years. Why? Because the Lord had given him rest. Now, if you're in a period of rest right now, let's say you don't have any real crisis, any big crisis, and you say, ah, man, this is good. Life is good. I've got great faith with the Lord, and, you know, I don't have to spend too much time in the Word. I mean, I don't have any problems. I don't have to ask for prayer because I don't have any problems. And, you know, I worship the Lord, you know, when I kind of think about it, but, you know, times are good right now. That's not the way you're supposed to use your quiet time. When times are quiet and of rest, we need to be fortifying ourselves spiritually, because the time will come when it's not so much at rest. God will give you trials. He'll give you, you know, you're going along, everything is fine, and you're happy with everything. You're happy with the Lord. You're happy with the power in your life. And, you kind of, whenever the Lord wills, boom, he hits you with a big trial. And now all of a sudden, oh, my, why? Lord's not fair. Oh, I don't understand this. Well, we need to be fortifying ourselves as he did here. He fortified in the cities of Judah, for the land had rest again and no war, because God had given them rest. We see it in our land. We see it in every land. You turn away from the Lord, your enemies come in from all your borders. East, south, west, north, top, bottom, you name it. Within. Most of them come from within, really, not from without. But here, they had rest because they were at peace with God, having done these right things. And he says, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers and gates while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. Are you seeking the Lord? If you're really seeking the Lord, he will give you peace. So they built and prospered. They used their time wisely. Good king. Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, who carried shields and spears, and from Benjamin 280,000. So that's almost 600,000 men who carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor. So they're a formidable army now in that area. But there's always enemies. Then Zerah, the Ethiopian, and we believe the Ethiopians were really mercenaries here for Egypt. I think it's Egypt behind this. It's Egypt's money and so forth. But here we have the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men, 300 chariots. I don't know why they needed 300 chariots. We got 1,000,000 men, but that'd be like 300 tanks in today's world, who carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor, and they came to Marishah. Marishah is about 25 miles from Jerusalem. Now just picture this. You're in Jerusalem, and just 25 miles away, there's a 1,000,000-man army with 300 chariots. Shaking your boots a little bit. So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephathah at Mereshah. And now there's the prayer of Asa. And Asa cried out to the Lord, his God. I like it. It's not the Lord, somebody else's God. It's his God. The Lord cried out to the Lord, his God, and said, this is great. It is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God. What he's really saying is, whether we have 5 million men or whether we have 100 men, with you, numbers don't matter, right? So he says, help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. That's the way we should be living, isn't it? And then he says, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. It doesn't say against us. How are your prayers? Are your prayers for the glory of God primarily, or once in a while, or ever, or is it just for me? Take care of me, Lord. Take care of me. Take care of me. So he said, do not let man prevail against you. This is your battle, Lord. This is for your glory. Because we are yours in your name. Here's the answer. The Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and they fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gerar. That's about 20 miles further south towards Beersheba. This is all in Philistine country at this point in time. These cities were under the Philistines. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. Very interesting. Egypt will not touch Israel for 300 years. It'll be 300 years before Egypt bothers Israel again. Through one man, right? Through one man's righteousness. Amazing, isn't it? And notice this, and they carried away very much spoil. Yes. So as you look back on this great trial here, they handled it so beautifully, and the Lord was so faithful, and they didn't end up after the trial worse off than they were before these million men came. They ended up with all the booty. They ended up with all the wealth that this million-man army had because they fled and left everything behind. And then they raided the Philistine cities, it says. Then they defeated all the cities around Gerar. Those are all Philistine cities. For the fear of the Lord came upon them. This is not, I mean, they hear about the Lord destroying this million-man army. You think they're going to be afraid or what? Absolutely. God puts fear in them. And they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. They also attacked the livestock enclosures and carried off sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. Now, I wish the story ended there. We're going to go next week into 15, and that's got some good things in it. But then in 16, we see Asa not finishing well, turning away from the Lord. And I won't get into it because that's what we'll talk about later. But it's so tragic with the kings. Pretty much a pattern constantly. They start out with nothing. They're depending on the Lord, and the Lord prospers them. And whether you want to use a king or whether you want to use a nation, it's the same thing. When you get desperate, you turn to the Lord, and the Lord blesses you. And then you get strong, we rely on the flesh. Nations rely on their military prowess and on their alliances with others and all of this. And then it doesn't go well. Because as soon as we turn our back on the Lord, down the tubes it goes, right? So where are you today? Are you fortifying yourself in these times of relative quiet, if it is quiet for you? And if not, are you crying out to the Lord along the lines of this prayer? Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the opportunities we have to meditate on it and learn from it and hear from you. This is you speaking to us, to anyone of yours who is in the word. And so here we have a few moments, Lord, to pray. And so lead us in prayer now in accordance with your Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Battle belongs to the Lord.
against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. Oh, to the Lord.
Father, we thank you that the battle does belong to you. Lord, help us to be active in calling on you and depending on you and not so active in trying to fight the battles ourselves, Lord. You will let us try to fight them ourselves, but that is such a weak approach. And Lord, we want to have you fighting our battles. And so, Lord, thank you for this morning and the applications that were in this 14th chapter of 2 Chronicles, Lord, and help us to seek you, help us to stay close to you. Bless each one because they came in Jesus' name. Amen.